Blog Talk Radio.
Start the clock. Good afternoon. At the tone, time will be real time.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Let's Change the World. The Let's Change the World weekly talk radio show is a product of the Let's Change the World movement. The movement is all about everybody doing whatever little bit we can, no matter how small it is, to positively impact somebody else's life other than your own, or to positively impact your community as a whole. And if we all do whatever little bit we can, and it doesn't matter how small it is, then together we can change the world. We can change the world beginning with one person at a time, one community at a time. And if we all band together, we can do some amazing things. To learn more about the movement, just visit www.thechangetheworldmovement.com. That's www.thechangetheworldmovement.com. Got some great stuff on there right now for you. Let's change the world. We're on the air every 2 weeks. We used to be on the air every week. So 2 weeks from now, we'll be back on the air. So come back and join us in 2 weeks. And every time we're on the air, I'm joined by my wonderful co-host. Without her, it doesn't work right at all. She was ill last week, and I really missed her. I really miss you, baby. Where you at? Cheryl Elisa, are you there?
I am here. I am here. Good evening, Terrell.
Good evening,
everyone. Can you hear me? How are you?
Yeah. I'm wonderful. I miss you so much. I didn't know what to do last week.
Oh, I am so sorry. I'm glad you missed me, but I know that you handled it without me. I'm more than sure that you did a great job. Listen to the
archives. How are you doing this week? I know you were a little bit ill last week. How are you doing this week?
Yes, I'm doing a lot better. Just a little bug going around, and I wasn't feeling well. But I'm doing a lot better today. And thanks for asking. You know, you got to take care of yourself because it is so much stuff going around, Dale, that people don't realize. And by me having OCD the way that I do, because everybody out there, I have OCD very bad.
Ugh.
So I'm talking about down to, that's not yet.
OCD, that just sounds like such a deadly disease or something.
Well, it's not. It's obsessive compulsive disorder, thank you. And basically, I got it to where the point is, you know, which people should do it, but I'm making it happen now. As far as like even grabbing a paper towel when you're leaving out the bathroom and it opens the door with the paper towel. Like germs are everywhere.
Yeah,
be mindful of that.
I do that sometimes,
yes,
too, and you know, and I'm always looking for the little hand sanitizer machines so I can get some hand sanitizer,
yes,
on my hands after I leave the bathroom. Because, and I know y'all see the same thing as women in the bathroom, but guys, sometimes they go to the bathroom and they use the bathroom, they just walk straight out like it's no problem. And, you know,
right,
they grab
a lot
the
of
handle.
People do that as well.
And then they want to walk up. People want to walk up to you always and shake your hand now and fist bump
you.
And this, that, and the other. And I got to the point where I'm almost throwing stuff at people so I don't have to hand it to them because people reach all out and they got to grab your hand and whatever you're handing them.
Exactly. You're absolutely right. And it's really, like I said, it's a gift and a curse for me. But in all actuality, it's nothing against another person. You're basically just trying to protect yourself. You know?
Yeah.
It's,
but you know what? I'm a firm believer
as
well, as much as both of us do those things. I try my best not to go too far because I do realize there's a point where you're going above and beyond. Because my father used to always say that, especially for a man, before you die, you're supposed to eat a peck of dirt anyway. And I hear on these little documentaries and stuff like that, how a lot of us, we get so OCD, you know, with the hand sanitizers and all this kind of stuff, that we actually remove some of the good bacteria off of our hands and our body and face and everything, that we need to kill the bad bacteria.
Right, so, I've heard that before.
So, you know, it's a certain point where you're really going too far, because our bodies are designed to handle things, you know what I mean? And if we're eating healthy, getting the proper exercise, getting the proper rest and things like that, our body is going to protect us from most illnesses. And every now and then you're going to get something anyway, regardless of what you do, and your body has the ability to quickly take care of it.
Okay, I can agree with, again, I do have OCD, so again, it's a gift and a curse, you know, because I'm very,
so everything
clean.
I just said was like blah, blah, blah.
Well, yeah, not really, but, you know, I respect what you're saying, and I've heard that as well before, you know, that you don't want to continue to, you know, you will take off the good things, you know, out of your skin. I have heard that before, but, yeah, being the way that I am, and I'm working on it, it's just the fact of, again, you know, it's nothing against someone else. It's just the whole protection of me, and I'm not going to go into that, because you're going to be like, you know what, Sharon, or you just, I have it. It's just too far. It's just too far.
No, I'm OCD, too, in a lot of different ways. I'll give you a couple examples, because we got to go into ridiculous news. But, like, in my cabinets in the kitchen, all of my cans, all my canned goods have to be organized, and all of the labels face forward, you know what I'm saying? And,
right.
Like, it really makes a difference, because I can still tell what it is if it, the can's turned around. But the labels must be face forward, and everything has to be organized. I cannot stand a nasty ketchup bottle or a mustard jar or something like that.
Ew.
It has to be clean, you know.
Right.
And I blow back in my tube of toothpaste, because my tube of toothpaste has to be, like, look almost as brand new as it can. So I, like, after I squeeze the tube, I blow back in it so that it blows back all the way.
You know what? Okay. Okay. I've never heard of that one. That's new to me. But, and I,
that's,
and I,
when
I
you,
get it. I'm,
I was just going to say, that's because in basic training, they had us do that, you know what I'm saying, because they're anal in basic training.
Okay, so it stuck with you.
It stuck with me.
Yeah, it stuck with you, and I don't think that's a bad thing. And I'm not going to go into all of mine, because everybody out there will be like, okay, she is just totally, you know, so far gone. But one of my
everybody
main things,
know you crazy.
Yeah, they do. And you know what? You're absolutely right. But one of my main things real quick, because I know we do have to get into ridiculous news, but one of my main things that I have to speak on is I only eat off of plasticware. When I go to a restaurant, when I go to a restaurant, and even at home, and I am, like, one of the cleanest people you know, even at home, I only eat off of plasticware. I have this thought of someone else's mouth being on this fork, no matter how much it's been in hot water, no matter how much they put it through the dishwasher, it just, it doesn't matter. My mindset is
okay, clearly you have never worked in a plastic factory before.
Clearly, I have not, and you better not tell me nothing else. We need to move on to ridiculous news. You tell me something that's going to make me crazy.
Because I have, and okay, I won't
okay,
disrupt your world.
Thank you.
Okay. Ridiculous news, y'all. Oh, man, it's all kind of ridiculous stuff going on. Up in Wisconsin, thieves, they stole a semi-trailer full of $70,000 worth of cheese. Now, I don't know what they thought they were going to do with all that cheese. I guess they thought they was going to go to the hood and start selling cheese or something. I don't know.
What?
They robbed 70, a semi-trailer. $70,000 worth of cheese.
You know what?
Fools.
Somebody's going to be locked up. That's what I can say.
I mean, how much money? I mean, where are you going to be, like, out on the corner peddling off cheese, or, you know what I'm saying? Hey, man, give me a dollar for this cheese. Okay, 75
well,
cents.
Well, and you know what? Okay, but I will say this, too, because cheese is expensive. Cheese is expensive in the grocery store. Not saying
but
of course. But, yeah.
It's just, you know what I'm saying? It's just not all that smart of an idea.
Right. Right.
You know, I guess they like, we're going to have us some mac and cheese for life, Jack. Of
right.
course, cheese don't last for life, but, you know. I mean, before you could sell it all, most of it would be done rotted. You know what I'm saying? It's like.
Right. Right.
That's what drugs do for you. Everybody out there who's listening, who, you know, is currently abusing or considering starting or whatever, this is what happens when you get addicted to drugs. Then you start thinking, let's steal some cheese. We could sell it and get enough to buy a pound of crack. I don't know.
Exactly. Yeah. There's sometimes desperate measure, too, right now. Because, you know, that's what it is for everybody right now.
True that, but I mean, there are better ways, you know. One guy was pretty smart, you know, his truck was on fire, so and this is in China, and the guy's truck was on fire, and he said, you know what, I'm about to drive this mug straight to the fire department and park right in front of the fire department, help him out. That's what he did, drove right to the fire department while his truck was on fire. Yep. He drove it straight to the fire department, and I guess he figured that'd be the smart thing to do. That way he don't have to wait for the fire trucks to come to him. He'd help them out and get it there quicker, and I guess they could just, like, I don't know, pull the hose. I don't know what he's thinking, like, pull the hose out of the fire department and quickly put a fire out of his truck or something.
Okay. Well, luckily he didn't get hurt.
Yeah, you know, I'm like, because you have gas in your truck. Diesel, probably, if it's a certain type of truck, and it's like,
right.
Diesel is very, okay. and then it was these drug smugglers, you know what I'm saying, and they called 911 because they had smoked so much weed that they got so paranoid that they swore that it was undercover cops following them already. So they got the bright idea that, since they're on to us, let's call 911 and turn ourselves in. That way it looked like we turned ourselves in instead of them having to arrest us. But as it turned out, the police had no idea that they were smuggling drugs. They didn't know nothing about it.
What? So they just got paranoid.
They just got paranoid and said, oh, my God, they're after us. They're, you know what I mean? They're going to get us. Let's turn ourselves in.
See?
And they turned themselves in, 911, called 911. And the police was like, oh, thank you very much.
Okay, they didn't have to do anything.
Right. Police had no idea. They had no idea they were drug smuggling. They would have got away scot-free.
Right.
But they just turned themselves in.
Crazy.
I'm telling you, man, this is for real stuff, y'all, if you don't believe me. Let's see. What's the next one? There's one guy, he's kind of smart. You know how, you know, it's a lot of snow up north right now and everything. So this one guy, he's a veteran, and he took his power wheelchair and converted it into a snow plow. So
what?
He put like a little snow plow shovel on the front of his
right.
wheelchair and start plowing sidewalks and driveways and stuff like that, making him some bread.
Okay. Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
This
and
is America, land of entrepreneurship. You know what I mean?
Right.
Do it however you know how to do it. Do that thing.
That's right.
Okay. and then the last one, which is kind of appropriate for the show. The title of our show today, by the way, is What's the Equation for Love? You know, what is the formula? And this is kind of fitting, almost. So at the Bronx Zoo, what you can do is you can name a cockroach for your Valentine.
You know what? Okay. Now, that is just, that seriously. That's ridiculous.
So I was going to call him up, since I'm so in love with you, Cheryl. I was going to call him up, pick a cockroach, and name him Cheryl Alisa.
Really? And that's love? Okay.
That would be like it's a token of my affection.
That is a bunch of crap. And who would want that for a gift? And Who? That's crazy. No, that's not love. You're not in love with me, because if you were, that would be the furthest thing from your mind. A cockroach? Really?
Oh my God, that's disgusting.
And you can name it after them? Yeah, mm-hmm. Ridiculous.
This is the world y'all live in, so y'all wonder why I founded the Let's Change the World movement, because something needs to change. Something just ain't right. The police, they mistook a statue of a homeless Jesus for a real person, so they went up to it and was trying to wake it up. And it was a statue of a homeless Jesus.
Where was this at?
This was in Hamilton, Ontario. And it was actually wasn't the police, it was the Canadian paramedics responded to several calls after locals confused the homeless Jesus statue for a real person. So, you know, they called the paramedics, you know, to make sure the guy was all right, and the paramedics walked right up to the statue, very lifelike statue of a homeless person, and it turned out it was a homeless Jesus, but it was just a statue, you know, a homeless Jesus.
Oh, my goodness.
Last one, this is the last one, I swear, y'all. There was a moonshine probe which led to some arrests. This was in Lakeland, Florida, down my way. Well, we're actually more central Florida, up near Tampa, somewhere up there. Police in Florida said a Facebook post offering illegal moonshine for sale led to the arrest of three people in an undercover operation. So they just posted on Facebook, moonshine, come to 1159 South Main Street, and we're selling moonshine. And, of course, the police showed up to purchase theirs.
Why do they do that? I never understood why people would post things like that on Facebook, knowing that the world is seeing this. You know, we've discussed this before, but just to reiterate again, that's how a lot of crimes are being solved, is through
mm-hmm.
Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So why would you do that?
You know, Facebook technology has just added another aspect to it, but that's how crimes have always been solved, is through word of mouth. People can't keep their mouth
right.
shut. They do something, and they got to brag about it to somebody. And
right.
because people can't keep their mouth shut, you tell one person, they're going to tell somebody else who's going to tell a couple people.
Oh,
you know,
yeah,
and now you've got technology, so you think the friends on your Facebook page are your best friends. So you post it there, and then they like, look at this fool. Let me show you this fool on Facebook. And they're going to show everybody else.
Exactly.
And then, of course, it's going to get to the police. And the police are on Facebook
yeah.
looking for stuff anyway. That's how they do now. You know,
they definitely are. Yeah.
Employers looking on Facebook.
For a position like that. Exactly. Yeah.
You know,
so that's crazy. Mm-hmm.
So you're sitting up here smoking a blunt on Facebook on a video, and then you're trying to get a job at the bank. You know
right.
what I'm saying?
And then they wonder why. Yeah, but they do. And it's so crazy, because I think the majority of people that's on Facebook know that. Like they know. I'm more than sure they've heard this before, but they don't care. A lot of them are the younger ones, but I mean, it's some our age as well. You know, doing
mm-hmm.
it as
just,
like a bragging type of thing. Yeah, it's just stupid.
Age don't matter, because you got young wise people and you got old fools, and vice versa.
Yes,
so.
You do. Yes. I agree.
And speaking of jobs. We got jobs, y'all. Grab your pen, your paper. You should already have it if that's what you tuned in about. This particular segment has been getting more and more popular because people need jobs, man. Maybe you got a job and you're tired of it and you want another job or a better job. Maybe you're unemployed. You've been unemployed for a while. Tune in. Every show, we're going to put some jobs out there. We're on social media. Find us on social media. If you live in a certain community, and you want some jobs from your community, let us know what community you're in, even what type of job you're looking for, and we'll try to find something for you by next show. So this is a service that we're providing for you guys. You first, if you have any. If not, I got a lot.
Yes, I do have some. And I know you do have a lot.
We're going to go through them real quick, though. We're not going to take the whole show, I promise y'all. So have your pen and paper ready. We're not going to sit there and repeat things 4 or 5 times. We're going to move quick. You got to be ready to write.
Okay. The first one I have is an administrative assistant, which that job is located in Norton, Ohio. And it is basically a secretarial position. The applicant must be comfortable with computers and punctual and attentive to customers' needs. And you can email the application or you can apply in person. Or you want to apply it in person, it's called C.J. Dannemiller. That's D-A-N-N-E-M-I-L-L-E-R Company. 5300 Hametown Road, Norton, Ohio. 44203. And they also have a phone number on here. I want to give that real quick. It's 330-825-7808. My next one is, it's called High Point Lawn Service. Now, I want to say this before I go on with my job, the job segment for me. I pick out, and just letting the audience know this real quick, I pick out, you know, jobs that, you know, people are, you know, that have degrees, and also people that have GED, you know, a GED or a high school diploma, you know, something equivalent, because we have to understand that everybody's not qualified for certain jobs, but there are jobs out here that you are qualified for, if that makes any sense. So with that being said, High Point Lawn Service, they are in Stowe, Ohio, and they're actually looking for an office assistant, as well. It pays $10 to $11 per hour. And basically what you're doing is answering incoming phone lines and light data entry work and also fouling. Training is provided, so you can call the office to set up an interview. And it's the phone number is 330-920-4400, and that's High Point Lawn Service, 4272 Hudson Drive, Stowe, Ohio, 44224. Honda salesperson needed, and this is probably a good job for somebody that likes to sell cars. Great Lakes Honda is in Cleveland. This job is in Cleveland, Ohio, and they also are hiring in Cahoga Falls, Ohio. And it is Great Lakes Honda is Akron number one volume Honda dealership, and they are looking for someone that wants a positive outlook on their career. And actually, you don't need any experience, so no experience necessary. And you will apply at 43 Pruitt Boulevard, and that's Akron, Ohio, 44310. And you can apply all day. They're open Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. to 7 a.m., and they're encouraging at any time you come in and you fill out an application. Panera Bread, they are holding interviews actually this Tuesday coming up. They're having open interviews Tuesday, January 26th from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. They're hiring in every department at Panera Bread. And the address is 762 Arlington Road, Akron, Ohio, 44312. And, again, that's this Tuesday. They're having open interviews. So walk on in if you need a job. Front office reception is needed, and that's in Akron. And it's the company is called UltraGloss, and they're looking for a front office receptionist, just handling office receptionist and light office duties, answering the phone, and just light computer work. You can apply in person at UltraGloss, 1323 Easton Drive, and that's Akron, Ohio, 44310. I have another one real quick, and that is in Mentor, Ohio. So that's like in Cleveland. It's a leasing agent, and that's a part-time job. If someone's looking for something part-time, it's a part-time leasing agent for apartment complex in Mentor, Ohio. And the hours would be Monday from 1 p.m. to 6 p.m. and also some Saturdays. To apply for that position, you would need to go to 7326 Industrial Park Boulevard, and that's Mentor, Ohio. 44060. You can also call for more information. The phone number is 440-571-5185. West Coast Westside Golf Club, now hiring restaurant and banquet servers for the 2016 season. And you want to email your resume, or you can apply at Red Tail Golf Club. And mind you, they're hiring for every position there. Every position is open. So it's called Red Tail Golf Club, 4400 Lear-Nagel Road in Avon, Ohio. And I have one more. Actually, I have two more real quick. Dental assistant, and this is in Columbus, Ohio. So anyone that's in Columbus, listen up for this job. It may be for you. It's a dental assistant in North Columbus, Ohio. It is a full-time dental assistant job. You have to have 2 years or more experience, and you will send your resume to memoordds@sbcglobal.net, or you can fax your resume at area code 614-882-0591. And my last one, which I think that it's a good job because I think we all need this, it's a part-time preschool teacher. It's called Meadows Academy Early Learning Center, and this is in Dublin, Ohio. So that is around the Columbus area. And you need to have at least 2 to 3 years of teaching experience. The job is Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. And they also said that there is only 10 students in the class with two teachers. And they wanted to, so, you know, if you're applying for this position, just know you won't be overwhelmed with children. You know, you can have a personal relationship with them. And you do apply at Dublin City Schools for this job. And that's all I have.
All right, y'all. Ready for me? Okay. I'm going to start with North Carolina. For my people down there in Raleigh, they're looking for a porter. AAA Carolinas. Look them up. That's all you get. You must have a valid driver's license and be able to pass a MVR background check. So as a AAA valet porter, providing exceptional customer service is paramount. Okay, so that's AAA Carolinas in Raleigh. Also, Zap Consulting, ZAP Consulting. They're paying $14 an hour for a claims processor. The claims processor compiles the findings of our technicians along with their own research into a detailed report. Claims processor, ZAP Consulting. Write it down, look them up. That's in Charlotte, by the way. Charlotte. In Winston-Salem, they're looking for a registered histotechnologist. Hopefully I said that right. If you don't know what it is, you're probably not qualified. Histotechnologist. This is at Pathologist Diagnostic Laboratory, PA. That's in Winston-Salem. Pathologist Diagnostic Laboratory. Also in Winston-Salem, Dragadus, USA. D-R-A-G-A-D as in Delta, O-S, Dragadus. USA, they're looking for structures foreman. So if you know what that is, then you probably qualified. Sounds like it's in a construction. For you IT people in Winston-Salem, IT services is looking for a service desk manager. The service desk manager is responsible for ensuring high quality, consistent technical customer support, ensuring that these support services meet or exceed, you know, blah, blah, blah. I don't know if you need to have technical experience for that or telephone or customer service experience. Give them a call and find out. Look them up, IT services in Winston. I'm going to move over to Greensboro. They're looking for a programmer full-time, JK2 Designs, Juliet Kilo 2 Designs. That's in Greensboro. Look them up. SunTrust Bank is hiring. They're looking for a QPM Specialist 2. QPM Specialist 2. That person ensures quality and productivity standards are met and improvements are made where necessary. And that's SunTrust Bank in Greensboro. The city of Greensboro is looking for landscapers and crew members. This is a pretty good paying job, $25,000 to $33,000 based on experience to start. Monday through Thursday or Tuesday through Friday, 6:30 to 5. Primary duties, brief, you know, it's landscaping. If you're a landscaper, you know what your duties are. South Florida, okay, Xfinity is hiring. They're always hiring. But this particular one is for a sales associate in Boca. If you're in Boca or near Boca, sales associate, contacts, look them up. Parker Company in Miami. That's the Parker Company. They're looking for a purchasing coordinator. You'll be entering design specifications into a purchasing system. You'll obtain quotations from vendors and assist with updating budgets, issuing purchase orders, and so on and so forth. The Parker Company in Miami. Now, Broward Health is hiring. They're looking for an intern for administrative duties. The internship is open to students currently enrolled in their junior or senior year of undergraduate studies or a graduate student at an accredited university. Okay, that's Broward Health in Fort Lauderdale. Also in Fort Lauderdale, they're looking for a brand ambassador, $20 an hour. Job description, they're looking for four energetic, personable, and hardworking brand ambassadors to assist us at the Fort Lauderdale Marathon Expo. $20 an hour. It doesn't sound like you need any high-tech skills necessarily for this position. I would look that up. And that's with RetailCom, Fort Lauderdale. That's Retail, C-O-M-M. Retail Communications is what it probably stands for. Look them up. Also in Broward, they're looking for an executive assistant at Broward College, $17 to $27 an hour. They provide and oversee support activities for the unit, such as answering the telephones, assisting and resolving problems and inquiries of visitors. Man, some of these jobs are really good. They're looking for a customer service agent at Signius in Miami, S-I-G-N-I-U-S. Let's move on to Atlanta. For my peach down there, they're looking for an administrative assistant, Data Scan Technologies, D-A-T-A-S-C-A-N. That all runs together, Data Scan Technologies in Alpharetta. Okay. They're looking for a hospice administrator at HCR ManorCare, M-A-N-O-R-C-A-R-E. That all runs together, too. That's in Decatur. If you're in Decatur, they want you to have a degree in business healthcare and nursing or related field. Okay. Chick-fil-A in Atlanta. They're looking for somebody for the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl internship program. $1,600 a month. The field is communications, public relations. They got digital media, marketing. A bunch of different positions available. They've got sales, ticketing, and so on and so forth. $1,600 a month, Chick-fil-A in Atlanta. Also in Atlanta, Six Rent-A-Car, LLC. That's Six, S-I-X, Rent-A-Car, in LLC in Atlanta. $40,000 to $70,000 a year. Must have a valid driver's license with a clean driving record. Okay. Don't want to take all day. Let's move on to Chicago real quick. I think that's going to be about it. I'm going to hit Chicago. They're looking for a general warehouse up to $25 an hour. Uline, U-L-I-N-E, in Waukegan. Uline, U-L-I-N-E, up to $25 an hour for general warehouse work. Okay, they're looking for a warehouse associate and driver in Franklin Park. Okay, you have to have a valid driver's license for that one. They're looking for a camera operator for the Chicago Cubs. Okay, operator will operate wireless ENG or stationary camera for video board feed. Okay, you'll capture live events throughout ballpark and game action as assigned. Okay, I don't know if you need any special qualifications. I always say call these people up and see. You never know; they might be willing to train you. Also, they're looking for a child protection specialist. The state of Illinois in Cook County, you know, $4,000 to $6,000 a month is what they're paying. Requires possession of a valid driver's license, daily access to an automobile, and proof of vehicle insurance. That's all they're looking for, to be a child protection specialist, okay? So some of these jobs, man, go out there and check them out. We're going to have more in 2 weeks. I got a lot more right now, but I can't hit them all because we're running out of time. We got to move into our topic. So tune in every show and be ready, because you never know what we're going to have. And if you live in another community and you want some jobs from your community, let us know. Call in right now. Yeah. Let us know.
Hey. Right.
Okay. So let's get to our topic. Y'all ready? What is the formula?
I'm ready.
What is the formula for love? And we started on social media, man, with a question that I think we should start with right now. And the question is, okay, let's just say the question is really for the ladies, and then the guys are probably going to want to chime in too. If a guy gives you a engagement ring, and then let's just say later on you find out that this is the same ring he had gave another woman before. Maybe you're looking through some of his old photo albums or whatever, whatever, and you see a picture of her with that same ring on her finger. You know what I'm saying? And you're like, oh, my gosh, this, you gave this ring to another woman, and now you're giving it to me as an engagement ring. And my question is, how do you women feel about that? Is it okay or is it not okay?
Well, you know, my opinion with that, Dale, is if that happens, if that would happen to me, that's basically you're signing a death warrant. That's what you're doing. And I'm being honest, because number one, that is, to me, I think that's just low. Like, you didn't put any thought into it, and that was meant for someone else. Like, you can't buy someone else, you can't buy a ring for someone else and give it to the next girl that you're dating. Like, any woman would tell you that, because that ring was absolutely meant for someone else. I think that's low.
Okay, playing devil's advocate, from a guy's perspective, I think, you know, guys, let me know if I'm correctly representing a guy's perspective or not. But I'm looking at it like, okay, and let's just say it was a really expensive ring. Let's say it was maybe a $3,000-$4,000 ring or more, you know what I mean? And it's a valuable ring. You know, you're not going to give this ring to anybody you don't love, because it's a $4,000 ring. And so from my perspective, what difference does it make? I love you is the point. You know what I mean? Not the ring. The ring is just a symbol of the love, but not really even a symbol. It's just, to me, you should marry me if I didn't give you anything. That's the way I'm looking at it. You would marry me if I didn't give you a doggone thing. If that wasn't even part of the ceremony of marriage, you love me and you would marry me for anything. Now, once you make the ring so important, it makes me feel like, why is the ring more important than the love that I have for you?
Did you say, even though, see, that's the thing. The ring is, I'm looking at it like this. The ring is materialistic, and I get that. But you're saying, to me, you're being materialistic when you said, how much did you say, like $4,000?
Yeah.
I mean, the amount shouldn't matter. That's the thing about it, at the end of the day, it's not even about the financial value on it. It's really about the thought. It really is. Like, did you put some thought
into it? But let's be for real, though. A lot of women, you know, I hear them all the time. We guys, we listening to you women talk. And a lot of you women, you say, you know, hey, if he buy me a cheap ring, he can forget it. You know what I mean? So a lot of women do put place. It's like the amount of money you spend on the ring directly relates to how much you must love me or something.
No. Buying a cheap ring and giving a ring that was initially given to another person before you is totally different. That is totally different. And anybody would feel like that. I mean, I know the majority of women would feel like that because, again, you know, it's about, you know, you it belonged to someone else. When you bought that ring, you bought that ring in mind of the very first person that you gave it to. You know, you didn't buy the ring thinking, you know, that it wasn't going to work and, you know, if it doesn't work out. That's like another thing, you know.
But you still have the ring, so why go out and buy another one? And we got somebody from the 330. From the 330, what do you have to say today?
I think it's, I agree with the previous caller. I think it's very disrespectful for a person to offer a ring to someone else that you were previously in love with. You purchased that ring, your relationship in mind of that person. The other person, yes, you may love her very much and you want to give her something of great value. That's great, wonderful. However, you did not buy it with her in mind. I think the ring has sentimental value and purpose of your relationship, your love, and your devotion to that to that person. And I think it's disrespectful to offer that person a ring. And I posted on Facebook, you know, if you have that ring and you truly love that person, you want to ask for their hand in marriage, then be considerate enough, shop around, sell that ring on eBay, Amazon, whatever you have to do. Go to a pawn shop, whatever you have to do. But do not re-gift that ring. That's disrespectful. And that does not show that you are completely considerate of me and my like and my love for you in our relationship. That's like, you know, saying I have some old dirty underwear. You want them? No. No.
Right. That's not the same. This is a piece of jewelry that increases in value, but when you take it and you try to trade it in for another ring, you lose a lot of money because you're trading. Anytime you trade, you're trading with a jeweler who has a profit motive. They're not going to give you the value of the ring on your trade. So the man spent $4,000 on this ring, and so he's going to go to the jeweler, lose $2,000, and then spend a couple extra thousand to buy you a new ring just because you don't like the first ring.
Then he should not be offering someone a used ring, period.
Okay, I got a question. What if a man
buy himself something with it, that's fine, but do not give me a used ring. I don't want that.
Let me ask you a question. What if a man comes up to you and just ask you to marry him, no ring?
That's fine, because like you said, if you truly love that person, it doesn't matter if you have a ring or not.
But just don't offer you the $4,000 used ring.
No, it, because...
So he's got a $4,000 used ring. Okay, I'm trying to delve into the mindset.
You purchased it with somebody else in mind. I'd rather have nothing than to take something that you meant for someone else.
Okay, exactly. Let me clarify my question here. So what you're saying is if I've got a $4,000 ring that I bought from somebody else and I really don't want to lose a portion of my investment plus spend some additional money simply because I'm not financially prepared maybe to do that at this moment or whatever, but I want to marry you and I know that you would rather me not give you that ring that's valued at $4,000 and just give you nothing, and you would marry me and not take the $4,000 ring.
It's called integrity, absolutely.
Okay. I wonder how many women agree with that.
Yeah, I totally agree with that, you know, because that's what it's about. And at the end of the day, I feel like this. Hey, you can always take it back, go get your money back, you know, and purchase another ring. You know, I mean, there's actually different avenues that you can go. But how dare you? And I think that's a slap in the face. How dare you give a ring to the next person that was meant for someone else? That's a total slap in the face. I think that's very degrading. And from a woman's standpoint, and even from and men may not feel this way. They may not, but they don't understand exactly how we are as females dealing with something like that. And again, it is a materialistic possession, but it's all about the heart at the end of the day. You know, was your heart really into it? Because if it was, you wouldn't even give me a ring that was meant for someone else. You just wouldn't do that. That's tacky.
Right. It's a constant reminder.
Right.
You know, to the new woman, you know, he loved me so much. Wow, that he want to give me somebody else's ring. She'll forever have to have that other person's energy on her finger. No.
That other person's energy.
That goes
away. Okay, I get it, ladies. I get it. You know, I understand. But it seems like, to take this a little further than the ring thing, it seems like, and I'm single, I'm 52 years old, okay, and I'm single. I'll be 52
in April.
I've never given anybody an engagement ring before, so I'm not guilty of this. And if I ever decide to propose, I almost proposed to a woman one time, but then she passed away before I did. But if I was ever to propose to a woman, she wouldn't have to worry about that because I've never, you know, given a woman an engagement ring before. But it just goes beyond the ring thing to me, the difference between men and women. It used to be a book out there was called Men Are From Venus and Women From Mars or something like that. Anybody
read
that book?
Yeah. Yep.
And it's just, we just got two different mindsets because, okay, I'm going to pick this. This may not be a good example, but I'm going to pick this. Ladies' night. If you were to go out and it's ladies' night. I don't have anything against ladies' night, but it just occurred to me many years ago that they have a ladies' night. So what happens on a ladies' night, the ladies all get in free, okay? The guys spend $10, $20, whatever, to get in. And then the guys come in and they like a woman, they see a woman they like. The first thing she expects him to do is buy her a drink. So he buys her a drink and then maybe two, who knows. He asks her out for a date, and she says yes. So he's going to spend his hard-earned money and take her out to dinner, a movie, dancing, wherever, comedy club, jazz club, wherever he decides to take her. And it just kind of seems after a while, now he wants to propose to her. So now he's got to go out, spend a few $1,000s or whatever on a ring to give to her. It just seems like the whole society thing is just all built around materialism, and it beats down on the man, because once they get married, now he has to bring home the bacon. He's paying the rent or the mortgage and the electric and the water and the gas and this, that, and the other. At what point does it become too much?
Well, first of all, I feel like we're talking about, number one, we're talking about a new age here. We're talking about, you know, women, again, are doing just as equal, if not better, than males. So I get what you're saying as far as the man being the head of household. Now let's back up a little bit. First of all, me being a woman, I can only speak for myself, and I think there's a lot of women out here now like this. You know, that's something we're not expecting. So when you're walking in a bar or you see, you know, a guy is trying to talk to you, that's some women. All women are not expecting for someone to buy them a drink. You know what I mean? That's not what they're expecting, because now you have women nowadays that will end up buying a gentleman a drink. You know, it goes both ways now.
Let me just ask you a quick question.
Very rarely.
Very rarely. I'm a guy, you know. Very rarely. So let me ask you a question. So if a guy walks up to you and begins a conversation, how long does that conversation go on before at some point you start looking at him and saying, wait a minute, you know, you're not treating me like a lady here. You haven't offered to buy me a cocktail.
Well, I don't think it's dependent on the cocktail. mine is all about stimulation, mind stimulation, how you feel when you're around that person. You know, do they have a great conversation? Are they intellectually astute? Can I actually, you know, see myself having or enjoying the conversation with that person? I don't care if they buy me a drink or not. That's minute. Because if it's girls' night, we are going out to have fun with one another. We're not anticipating, you know, this person buying us a drink. But if you meet someone who can is intellectually able to keep your attention, that's a bonus. I mean, because that's,
yes,
that's rare in this day and age, because people just really want to go from A to Z, you know, without all the B's and everything in between. So who cares if he buys a drink? I already have one. What's your communication like? What do you
right
like? I want to know the person.
I hear you ladies saying this, but
it's true. And I can only speak for me, but that's me.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I understand you're speaking for yourself, and I hear you saying that, but I mean, I have a personally as a guy, and I wish some guys would call in 818-739-8909. I see a lot of people listening. Just go ahead, dial that number one and chime in, because we want to hear your opinion as well. The more the merrier. But I think, aren't there some expectations? Let's just keep it real. Aren't there some expectations there at some point?
I think for those, anyone in this day and age who walks into a room with those 1950 expectations is delusional. I really do. I think ignorance is a choice.
Do you expect a gentleman? I mean, do you expect a guy to hold a door for you? You know, or if he lets you in the car, do you expect him to walk around the car to your side and let you out? What do you expect?
Like I said, if he does those things, that's a bonus. I would love to be in the presence of a true gentleman, and there are still some out there, and I appreciate that. I'm not saying that, you know, I'm a women's lib person, and you know, I want to hold my own and act like a man. Absolutely not. But when those men are out there, and if I come into their presence, it's a bonus. But do I expect certain things from them? No. I want to know the person. I think we get caught up all too often of what society expects of us in our male and female roles. And we totally nullify the personal side of who is this person? What are they about? Getting to know someone. You expect so much these fairy tale things from people. And that's why I think why the divorce rates are so high, because your expectations do not match reality. We need to become more social creatures where we start to understand, you know, what makes a person tick. Getting into the psychological side and forget all about the materialistic stuff. Those are the white supremacy things that we've seen on television and have become accustomed to, that we totally forget or don't even bother to get to understand what it is to be you, and understanding you yourself first and being able to accept someone else for who they are. And then when you put those two together, okay, how can we work together? People don't see that. All they see is, ooh, a wedding, a this, a that, all that material stuff that doesn't mean a hill of beans.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know.
And I was, for every show, I do a lot of research and stuff like that. And I've done a lot of research for this show. And there are certain things that make for a bad relationship. And so what you said is absolutely correct. I agree 100% that we're focused on the long thing. A lot of times what we're attracted to and what's best for us are two different things,
right?
You know, so, you know, we're attracted. If I'm a man, I'm attracted to the short skirt with the high heels and the, you know, maybe the fingernails done and this, that, and the other. But what I really want deep down inside is a woman like my mother, who can cook, you know, who can take care of the kids, and who, you know, something completely different. And we don't reconcile what might be visually appealing to what's going to last with us in a relationship. And from a female standpoint, it's the same thing. I think a lot of women what they need in a man, you know, the safety, the security, the companionship, you know, someone to love and care for them, put them on a pedestal. versus, you know, hey, you know, what does his income look like? You know, is he a smooth talker? Is he a bad boy that, you know, sets my soul on fire, you know?
Right. And I think that's why so many women, I think it's like 45% of Moorish American women who have never been married. That's a problem because their expectations are delusional. You have so many of our men who are incarcerated, or so many of our men who are blue-collar workers. They're not executives, but that doesn't mean that they don't have a good heart. That doesn't mean that they don't want to love you and care for you. And vice versa, same thing for women. We have become so materialistic and chasing, you know, like I said, that white supremacist dream and reality of what it is to be loved in America, that we forget that we are, number one, the caretakers. We're the one that brought forth this life, and we're the ones that are supposed to nurture it. We have forgotten how to be strong and rooted in what it means to be a virtuous woman. And I'm not by no means religious, but I'm just saying to be homely. And I don't mean that as an ugly, like you said, someone who can cook, someone who can clean, someone who can still nurture her man, who remembers what it means to be female, what it means to be a woman, what it means to be a mate, what it means to be a friend. That is rare these days. And those are the things that are not being taught because we're chasing so many of these other things that family and values have just basically are almost non-existent. And it's sad.
You know, I've told this little, I'm going to try to make it quick, I promise, Cheryl. But I've told this story several times. And, you know, it's the story of my mother and father. You know, and just to make it real quick, my father, he was born in Sunflower, Mississippi in 1915. And my mother was born in, St. Francisville, Louisiana in 1915. And my mother was born in Sunflower, Mississippi in 1916. And they both ended up in Akron, Ohio, and they met. And my father at the time, he was pretty much a falling down drunk. He had never graduated to second grade. And my mother, she had moved up north, you know, many years before, graduated high school up there. She was much more of a sophisticated type of woman, fancy dresser, had a jazzy personality, really nice looking, very popular. And all of her friends were like, what do you see in this broken down country hick drunk? And my mother, she saw something in my father. I don't know what it was, but she just liked the man. Okay? And my father, he straight up honestly told me one day, he said that when a woman like your mother saw something in me, it brought something out of me. You know what I'm saying? It changed me and it made me want to be a better man. So he went on and he quit drinking. He got a good job at B.F. Goodrich. He ended up working there 37 years. He was never late for work. He only missed one day in all those 37 years. That's when it was 5 below 0. And my mother told my father she would divorce him if he didn't stay off work and help us move. And that was the only day he ever missed. And when they got old and elderly, I found out that my father had put $180,000 in the bank in my name. Of course, all that money disappeared because they ended up having medical bills and so on and so forth. So don't nobody out there think I'm rich. But my point being is that a lot of times I think that when women are so superficial, and I'm not beating down on women, I'm just giving a male perspective because I happen to be a male. But sometimes women, some women, are so superficial that they pass up a good man who's staring them right in the face simply because he might look a little boring, a little bland. Maybe he doesn't have everything going on right now. But I believe that, you know, I am religious, so I believe that, you know, Adam and Eve, you know, were the first human beings, and that the woman was taken from a rib of Adam. So I do believe that a man is missing that vital rib, you know, until he finds that vital rib, he will never reach his full potential. And sometimes it just takes for a woman to believe in you, you know, and a man needs somebody to care for. And when he finds that woman who and she's looking at him and seeing something in him that maybe he don't even see in himself, it makes him want to get off his dead ass and do something and make it happen.
Mm-hmm. That's a beautiful story. I mean, but you don't want to marry no fool. But yeah, congratulations to your mom, well, and to your dad for him realizing that he has something good. And that brings up another point where you can love a person so much, but a lot of times it's difficult because of what they've been through. They can't receive the love. They don't know how to receive it. That's been my experience. Mm-hmm. So it's hard, you know, finding great relationships anymore because people don't value themselves. We've been so jacked up for so long. But yeah, we need what you're doing on a much bigger level. We need more men to call in and really, you know, give us some of a piece of their mind.
Right.
We need to know what's going on. But yeah, these are the things that we need to talk about. But I got another call, you guys, but this has been great. And I'll try to chime in a little bit later. Talk to you. Peace.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you for calling in. Take care. And
thank you.
And we do have another caller, actually, also from, make sure I get it right here, also from the 330. From the 330, what do you have to say?
Hey, this is Henry.
Henry, what's going
on? How's everybody doing?
Good.
Is Cheryl with you tonight?
She there? Where you at, Cheryl?
Okay, I didn't hear her say hey.
Hold on, wait a minute. Did we lose her? Wait a minute. Cheryl, I'm sorry.
Hello?
Did I hit the wrong button?
Yeah, you hit the wrong button. Hey, Henry.
Hey, I thought you was trying to get a bad relationship going here. Not speaking to me.
It's my fault. I'm always messing up.
It's always the man's fault. I was just calling. You know, there's a difference between what attracts us and what keeps us. And a lot of, you know, we're looking at the what we perceive as the breakdown of the relationship over the years, which is caused by a lot of problems. But one of the things that people don't usually look at is the fact that once upon a time back in the day, the woman stayed home with her parents until that man came and got her out the house. And when he came and got her out the house, he easily had a house to put her in. So she didn't have to have a job. She basically, her job was going, she was being raised to be a wife. And she was well prepared to be a wife and a mother. So when he brought her out of the house, you know, he brought her into his house. He paid the bills. She didn't work. She took care of the house. Now, today, you know, women say, we ain't having that no more, you know. So we going to have our own house. We're going to have our own car, our own whatever. So now there's no more need. It used to make sense where the man would take the woman out and pay for every single thing because the woman didn't really have the money. But now a woman can have more money than you. So now it's the tables are, I wouldn't want to say the tables are turned necessarily, but the requirements are different because I no longer need, as a woman, she no longer needs you to pay for things because she don't have nothing. She has her own. And she doesn't want to maybe make it seem like she's needy when she has a lot or more than you. And at the same time, the man feels like, well, since you got all this, you know, why do I need to be coming to my pocket to pay your bills? And after all, we just dating. Why should I spend all this money on you just to see if I like you? And after we spend a year together and I spent, you know, $3,000-$4,000 in dating and whatnot, you know, then you decide, oh, I don't like you, so I'm see you later. So all that money wasn't even an investment. And I think that a lot of men look at it that way. And then you also have a lot of women who say, well, hey, look, you know, you ain't got to pay for everything. Sometimes you pay, sometimes I'll pay. You know, and then you got some guys that say, well, no, I think the man should pay every time. And the reason we got all this confusion is because we're trying to blend two different time zones together. And we looking from the old school, we looking at it one way, the new school looking at it a completely different way and saying, I'm completely happy with a man that cooks and stays home and the woman goes out and pays for the bills. Old school people can't relate to that. So we automatically view that as a dysfunctional family. But even me, I'm like, no, ain't no way a man should be at home and a woman, you know, bringing home the bacon. But if those two people are happy doing that, I have to, I have to sit back and allow them to be happy. You know what I'm saying? Because we're dealing from a different situation right now. Not everybody adheres to the Bible. Not everybody adheres to certain rules and principles. You know, people they're looking for people who are compatible for whatever they want. You know, and if a man loves to cook and loves to raise the kids, and he finds a woman that loves to work and climb poles, and those two come together and they're happy, as out of order as that seems to me, according to the book, okay, however, and say, you know, y'all need to reverse the roles just because it's not fitting to me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And, again, yeah, I agree with everything you just said. Hallelujah.
What?
Because...
Wait a minute, what?
I agree with everything you just said. You know, that don't mean the world coming to an end, I hope. But, we saw two different time zones. Everybody trying to – but you know what? In the end, it comes down to we can't be judgmental. We got to let everybody be who they're going to be. Now, rather it's right or wrong, you know how I feel, Henry. I'm the type that I say let God be the judge. You know, I'm not going to sit here and judge people. You know, I might think what you are doing is against something or it's not right or whatever, but I'm not going to speak on it ever. You know what I mean? Unless a situation arises where it makes sense to speak on it to help you, you know, or unless you ask me. But other than that, you know, be who you are, do what you want to do. Now, as far as relationships go, I think is you brought up a good point, which is that sometimes an old school guy might meet a new school girl or vice versa. And now you got a problem because, you know, you got two different understandings of how this whole relationship thing is supposed to go. So how you end up getting in a bad relationship, I think, is when you don't ask the right questions. And there's a bunch of different questions that you need to ask before you buy that engagement ring, and definitely before you tie that knot and get married. I'm going to just give you an example. You need to know what is the ideal number of phone calls a couple should exchange in a day. Now, that might sound like a kind of trivial, minute thing, but once you get deep into a relationship, and let's say the man decides, hey, I'm not going to be calling my woman all day long. You know, I'm at work, I'm busy, I'm doing this, that, and the other. Even when I get off work, I might want to go have a cocktail at the bar, or maybe I'm going to go hang out with the fellas for a minute or whatever. And you may decide, hey, I'm not going to call my woman, you know, all day long. But she might start thinking, hey, why don't you ever call me? Does that make sense? So it kind of makes sense before you get married to go over these little tiny things like this to make sure we have an understanding. We feel the same way.
What's wrong with a phone call?
I didn't say anything was wrong with a phone call. That's not what I said. I never said anything was wrong with a phone call.
What did you say?
I said that people have different understandings. Now, see, you may feel like, hey, I think my man should call me 2-3 times during the day just to check on me or text me or whatever or say, hey, whatever. But if you happen to end up in a relationship with a man who doesn't feel the same way, that relationship at some point is going to start going sour. And it could be after you have gotten pregnant, you know, or – you know, after we have tied the knot or something like that.
Well,
does that make sense?
Well, let me say this. Well, first of all, I think it depends on the woman. It depends upon the woman and the man as an individual. Because some men, and I have to say this, some men are just not phone type of people. You know what I'm saying? And neither are some women. They're just not, and I get that. But when you are in a relationship, I'm not saying to call them 50 million times a day, but it's nothing wrong with, you know, calling the check up on them. It's nothing wrong with sending the text. Now, some people, again, I'm the type of person where I like to communicate. So that texting, it's okay. But that, to me, that's just not a good form of communication. I like to hear your voice. And it, just like we were talking about the ring, it's all, at the end of the day, it's all about the thought that you put into it. That's how I feel with you in your relationship. You have to put something into it if you want to get something out of it. You have to. So
I mean, I agree 100%. Personally, I do believe in, you know, communication, you know. You know, hey, what's going on, honey? You know what I mean? Or how you doing? Is everything all right? Or whatever. I'm going to be doing this later. You know, I get into that. And but I just want to point out that not everybody does. And these are the types of things that we're just not, like the lady who was on a little while ago was saying, you know, we're getting too much into the superficial and we're not getting to the grits, the mashed potato and the grits. You know, these are the little things that will break up a relationship if you don't iron them out first. Because later on in the relationship, if I'm expecting you to communicate with me a few times during the day and you know, you won't do it, that's going to end up being a problem. It seems like a tiny thing, but it will be a big thing later. Another
I'll give you a classic example of that. Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, I'll give a classic. I'm the kind of guy that wants to make sure that my lady is safe at all times. So I'm the guy that's going to say, hey, you know, call me when you get home. I'm the guy that's going to say, hey, look, you know, if anything happens to your car, you know, before you go calling Bob and Harry, anybody else, you got a flat tire or whatever, you call me. After all, I'm your man. But
right.
I've known a couple different girls over the years. Oh, I forgot to call you. I'm just not used to that. I'm just used to being on my own. Okay, I can understand that, but you need to adjust because you got somebody. Because, see, I'm the guy, and I almost did this one time, you know, when you just, it's a blizzard outside. You coming home from work. I want to know you're home safely. You ain't calling me. Now you ain't answering the phone. And so now I'm out in the car and go see if I can retrace your steps to see if I can find you, make sure you okay. Because you're not answering
right.
the phone. I don't know if your phone is dead. You know what I'm saying? But she's not appreciating that. She's thinking that, oh, I'm just not used,
right,
used to that.
Right,
because
that sounds like stalkers. That sounds
no,
stalkers.
I'm saying she's coming home.
But some women
well,
would
this,
appreciate
this,
that,
this,
but
this,
some wouldn't.
Yeah,
This is my answer to that. Because I had a girl that I was being that for. She loved it. Her friend, however, it's always those friends, she said, girl,
right.
he just want to know where you at all the time because he's just trying to keep tabs on you. And you know what I told her? I said, look, don't listen to her because just because you call and tell me you home safely, that don't mean you got to stay there. You said,
right.
You just wanted to be foul. You
That's
can
true.
Be foul. I'm just trying to make sure you home. I'm trying to do the right thing. Now, if you take my, you know, my love and you know, abuse it, then that's on you. You know, but
okay.
I'm just trying to make sure that you're safe.
Well, see, that's
you know?
What
yeah.
I'm saying. This is what I'm saying. At the end of the day, it's totally about the individual. Because, yeah, I get that now that you put it in that perspective. I totally get what you're saying. But you do have women that, again, what I just said, you know, and you're right, it's always a friend. And they'll feel like, you know, okay, he's stalking you, or yeah, he just wants to see where you're at. But it all depends upon the individual, because some people think that's okay and some people don't. So you do have to establish, you know, or set some kind of boundaries in a relationship to see what works and what don't. And I totally get that. But at the end of the day, you still have to, in a relationship, let me finish this. In a relationship, at the end of the day, you still have to come together. So you have to come together with some type of agreement. You know what I mean? That's what that's about. But it's all based upon the individual. Because the women and men, they're not the same anymore. It's a different generation, you know. I totally agree in old school. And I wanted to say this real quick. I understood what you were saying, Dale, about your parents, because I always say, and I said this before on the show, that there was, I don't know any greater man more than my grandfather. Both of my grandfathers are considered men. I have not ran into a man how my grandfathers were. It was just that they were true men. They were true men. And they treated their wives with the utmost respect, and they always came first. And now it's not like that anymore. But you have women, and I'll let you go ahead, but let me say this. But you have women that are doing the same exact thing as a man was doing. You know what I mean? They're using guys, or they're dating multiple guys. You know, they're not being, because it was always, you know, the perception of the man was always the one that's being unfaithful. Well, you have women doing the same thing now. Things have changed. They've changed. Mm-hmm. So it's based upon the individual.
Yeah, things have changed. That's what Henry was saying before. It's a whole different times now, and things have changed.
Right.
But I agree with your point that, look, everybody, and this is something I hope everybody gets off of this show, because we don't have these shows just to have. We always want something to come out of the show. What I hope comes out of this show is that everybody understands that you have to get past the superficial and get down to the meat and potatoes and start figuring out, hey, do you like the same things that I like? Do you think the same way that I do? You know, before you get married, it's a good thing to know, hey, what do you think, what's your idea of a romantic vacation? Because what ends up happening is sometimes a guy will go out and plan this big giant vacation or some special thing that he wants to do, and she thinks it's a terrible idea. You know, little things like that. What would you define as cheating? You know, some women, for example, might think that, hey, if you just look at another woman while you're with me, you know what I'm saying, that's cheating.
Right, and some men feel that way as well.
Some men feel that way as well, you know, mm-hmm. But on the flip side, some feel differently and feel like, hey, if I just look at this woman, what's the big deal? You know what I mean? Or if I have a friend who is of the opposite sex, some people feel like, I don't see why that's a problem. But the spouse,
I don't see that being a problem. You have a lot of women that see that as being a problem. I'm one of those that don't. I feel like you can be friends with the opposite sex, and that's just it. You're totally friends, just platonic.
But
you know what I mean?
But my point coming across to what I'm saying is, you have to talk about these things.
Oh yeah, you do. Oh yeah, you do. Yeah, you do.
You know, and make sure that we're on it. We've got the same mentality, but we're not. I don't think way too many people are doing that.
But even so, then you got to remember too. Like, you really don't know thing about that person before you get married. So as you go on, okay, you got married. So now there's things that you do find out that you disagree on. That's what I'm saying. You have to come together. You're not going to find out every single thing before you get married, what this person's likes or dislikes are, right? So you go through those motions when, as the marriage or the relationship continues on and you guys are under one roof, you still go through those motions. So it's about coming to a compromise. Again, you have to come to an agreement. So,
but that's why I'm in favor of long relationships. You know, again, some people might differ from me from that. But to me, it kind of makes sense to date for quite a while before you get married, because the longer you spend time, you're going to learn about people for the rest of your lives, even like you said, after you get married. But the longer we date, And if we both have the mindset that we're going to try to learn each other, then we can accelerate that learning process. And hopefully, you know, we will know each other well enough so that once we get married, if there are some additional things that we learn, have some differences, they're not so catastrophic. We don't wait till we get married to find out that we're completely different.
I agree with that.
Brutal honesty is another thing that ruins things, because you can tell me half truths. So you know, you saying, hey, you know, we're dating. I got a friend that's coming in town. You know, he's just a platonic friend of mine, and you know, we want to catch up. You know, so you try to trust the woman. Say, okay, all right, you know, I'm gonna go ahead and trust you. You said ain't nothing going on. You meeting this man. You supposed to have some drinks or whatever and catch up because you ain't seen him. But what she ain't telling you is that y'all ex-lovers, but that she used to be your boyfriend, and now he's just your friend. You see?
Well, what if they were just friends? What if they weren't ex-boyfriend and girlfriend? What if the relationship was
Then she would be telling the truth. But see, here's the deal. When you tell me that we were just friends and ain't nothing, you know, there's nothing going on between us, and then later on I find out that you guys were having sex together, or you had a relationship, you was your ex-boyfriend, whatever, you didn't tell me your ex-boyfriend was coming in town and you wanted to catch up with him. You made it sound like it was this guy that was just your platonic friend at all times. So you
conveniently hid that. Well, like I said, women are doing the same thing as men have been accused of for years. Women are doing the same thing. I said that earlier.
Yeah, we are afraid. People are afraid to tell the truth because they are afraid of the consequences. Like, they don't, you know, I want to see my ex-boyfriend that's coming in town, but I don't want to tell you because you ain't going to like me, be comfortable with me around him. So, therefore, I just make it sound like he's just a platonic friend because that's all we are right now. See?
But that's going to cause a problem later.
And you're not being, and when it comes out later, now it makes you look like a liar. Man, now I had to think back, okay, well, that night when you did go out, how do I know y'all didn't mess around? So now the woman's
sort of lied and told me that it was my friend.
Yeah. That's where trust comes in. You have to.
But Henry's point is there
trust.
Is you have ruined the trust when you told the lie.
Right. See, the thing about trust is you can trust me all you want to, but that don't mean I'm going to do the right thing. So trust.
Oh, well, that's
I
with anybody. Yeah.
Okay. So just because I trust you. You know, I trusted you to go out. I trusted you and believed you when you told me he was just a platonic friend. Had you told me I have an ex-boyfriend, you know what? If you told me I have an ex-boyfriend that's coming in town and we did this, we broke up, it didn't work, and I just want to see him and catch up with him, there's a greater chance
you
would
be okay
of me,
with that.
No, what I'm saying is, even if I wasn't okay with that,
you said no.
That's what I'm saying.
You damn if you do, you damn if you don't. You would not be okay with that. No woman would be okay with that. The woman would be like, I'm with you.
Even if I wasn't okay with that, I would be more inclined to be willing to let you do it because you told me the truth.
If you and I are married
and I tell you that a girl that I used to date is coming in town and I would like to go see her, I'm not telling you I'm going to go see her. I'm asking you, are you okay with this? I'm saying
you have to use your words very wisely. You just say, and I'm telling you that she's coming in town. Yeah, you have to.
I'm telling my wife to catch up with her. Then I ask her, are you
okay?
Okay,
so we know that. So if she
says yes,
I'm okay with that, but I'm going to go with you. Yeah, I'm fine you seeing her. You can. She's coming in town. Great. I would love to meet her as well. What would you think about that? Okay, that's fine with you. But just know this. That is a part. Wait a minute. Just know this. That is a part of trust. Because if she's saying that she, oh, that's fine. You can meet her, but I'm going with you. That right there is a part of trust. She doesn't trust you. Because if she did, that's what I'm saying.
It might be an issue that she don't trust her.
Most women don't think like that, and that's what the problem is. And hold on, what you just said, it should be that way, but it's not that way. Most women, they have a problem with the girl, but they have the attitude with the guy. That's what they do, and they have an attitude with the guy. They take it out on the guy. So what you're saying is that's true. It's really true. It might not be him. It could be her. But most women don't think like that. They're solely thinking it's him. What is he going to do?
Well, I'm thinking that
that is wrong. But that's how it works.
I'm thinking that most women that would have a problem with that will be thinking in terms of, okay, if this is your ex-girlfriend, you done been there with her sexually before. So it's going to be very easy and very tempting for you to go back there again.
I wouldn't have a problem with it because you're going to do what you want to do regardless.
But what I'm saying is, even if you don't have a problem with it and you let him go, just because you trust him doesn't mean that he's trustworthy. So I think that what a married couple should do I'm thinking it's what I would do. Let's put it that way. What I would do is if the woman had, I'm not going to go and go see no ex privately, because she's a closed chapter in my book. I'm married now. I don't need to be seeing you privately. Okay, if I was a single man, that's different, but I'm married now. That's some things I just don't do, just purely in honor of my wife. I ain't even going to ask her. Okay, because the first thing to come up, well, how do you even know that she's coming to town? You obviously are communicating with her already.
Right.
You know what perspective I'm looking at, with you guys' discussion here, you know what perspective I'm looking at this at is from the beginning. So when you first get into a relationship together, neither one of you know that at some point later in the future, Henry is going to have an old girlfriend who's going to come to town and want to see him.
Now, exactly.
So from the beginning, the point I want to get across to everybody is you have to anticipate, hey, how would you feel if just hypothetically one day you have a girlfriend come or I have a girlfriend comes in from out of town and wants to see me? How would you respond to that? You need to get that out of the way of those conversations you need to have up front in a relationship before you get too deep or married.
Who's writing that down to even ask that?
When you have a conversation.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not saying that specific question.
Okay.
I'm not saying just that specific. I'm saying that when two people are talking, because back in the old days you used to say, when we were kids or whatever, we used to say, I'm talking to Cheryl, you know.
Right.
And, you know. We need to consider it like that, you know. Hey, we're talking, and what that means is while we're dating,
we're getting to know each other.
We're getting to know each other, but what a lot of people don't do is really get to know each other. What they do is they go out, let's dance, let's drink, let's see a movie, let's laugh, let's whatever, let's have some fun. And then during this time, you get closer and closer and closer until your heart is invested. And then maybe you even buy her a ring or try to offer her your ex-wife's ring or something. But but the point I'm making is
by now
it's too late. At the beginning of the relationship when you're dating, you need to be talking about stuff like this. Hey, how would you feel if? What if this happened? What are your views on this? You know what I'm saying? These are the conversations that you have to have before you get highly invested.
And then that's a whole different, and that's a whole other ball game because I know we are running out of time, but you do get into the point where it is, okay, some people are telling, it's deep because some people tell you what you want to hear. But that's really not them. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, just like you said, you ask them those questions. They're like, no, I'm fine with it. You know, the case scenario is if an ex came back in town, you want to have dinner with them. And then, you know, the person that you're getting to know, oh, no, that's fine. You know, I trust you. You can do it. But they really don't feel like that. See, a lot of people feed you things that
that's
you want.
That's why long relationships are good, because over time,
yes,
it just tends to come to light.
Yes,
you know what I'm saying?
Yes, it will. Amen.
And,
yeah.
And also these when you're diligent at having these conversations, you ask a question one way in April and then in July you ask the same question another way and you get a slightly different answer, then you can start putting two to two together and you know, and start figuring things out about each other.
So what is the definition of a long relationship?
Well, I mean, I don't have any set time, but I'm just saying I'm against, you know, through 90-day relationships, let's get married, stuff like that. I don't think you
can
have any.
I think a year
is
not even long enough.
I don't think so either,
you
personally.
Said what? Oh, no,
I don't think a year
enough.
Is even long enough.
I'd say about 5 years. 5 years is 5 years.
Well, I'm not going to say 5 years.
I don't know about
but
that.
But I think definitely over a year. You know
years.
What I'm saying? If you can't, if you're not going to date 12 months before you decide to get married, you know, I think that's ridiculous. You got at least
five
a year.
Years.
You know, okay, well, Cheryl,
five,
I mean, you and I will never get married because I ain't waiting on nobody for the 5 years. If at
no,
a certain point,
I'm
a decisive type of guy, and I'm like, look, let's get married. This is what I want to do.
$1,000 ring. But I don't want to marry you anyway because you're going to give me somebody else's ring for $1,000. Okay. I don't want it.
I'm going to the pawn shop. I'm going to tell you right now. It's fine.
I'm going to the Cracker Jack box.
You the Cracker Jack box. That's where. That's right.
You know
what
I mean? Cracker Jack.
Cracker Jack.
I found that ring.
It's a guy down at the corner. He got rings. I don't know what they made out of, but I'm going to get one from him. He could use a few bucks. He's trying to get a hit. Anyway.
Yeah, you're going to get a marriage toe.
Hey, y'all, we out of time. You know what time it is. We done this over and over again. We got to end it right here. Thanks for calling in to our guests. We're going to be back in 2 weeks. We're not doing it every week. The only reason is we want to start making sure that we prepare for much better shows to offer our audience. So we want to bring on some guests, and we want to make sure we've done our research and have our information together, and that we've properly promoted, so on and so forth, so that you as the audience end up having a better experience when you tune in. Please stick with us. We want to grow this. This is a part of the Let's Change the World movement. So we're all about doing some positive things in the communities. We're about bringing people together and trying to network and make good things happen, okay? Cheryl, you got any final words before we go?
Love, just spread love, you know, and it's not even about so much of being totally in a relationship, just love, you know, but love yourself first. That's the main thing, because if you can't love yourself first, you can't love anybody else. Love self first.
Absolutely, and think outside of the box. Don't automatically turn away the man or woman who doesn't blow your mind the first time you see her, or who doesn't set your soul on fire right away. Take a little time, give them a chance, get to know them. Trust me, attraction can grow once you get to know someone and find out who they really are, if who they really are is the type of person who can click with who you are. So give people a chance, get to know them, and I think that, you know, it'll work out better that way. I'm going to leave y'all with a little old school love music. So until next time, y'all have a good week.
Peace.
I try to do the best I can for you. What it seems not to. No, I can't, even when you're not there. I want this pain.
me.